It's showtime.
Okay, Tokyo,
South America,
Australia,
France,
Germany,
UK,
Africa.
Here we go. Head on with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. And here we go, off and running on this, the third day of September 2020. This is The Horn. HeadOn.live is where you'll find us on the interweb tubes. I say that every night, but you gotta, you know, you never know. Folks are wandering in and finding the program all the time. HeadOn.live, yes, indeed. And if you're listening live and you want to enhance your listening experience, then by all means, bebop on over to HeadOn.live. Click on chat room, pick yourself out a screen name and a password. And jump right in, and early arrivers, Anatole and Roger and Squeaky will be there to welcome you to the Merry Madcap Wacky Zany real-time multimedia extravaganza that does take place when during the 3 hours in which this program is live, Monday through Friday, 5 to 8 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, 2 to 5 p.m. Pacific Daylight Time, all times in between, and the great globe around. You will, of course, be capably moderated by longtime and veteran indefatigable chat room moderator Sparky, who, while he is a third-stage guild navigator, continues to choose not to fold space into an infernal man cave. Because Sparky's smart that way. And we'll see maybe if another month with an R in it, October, might see some space folding. But nope, still too miserable. Yeah, and more than understandable. So pop on by. It's a good time. A lot of fun had. Good conversation. And I think you'll, if you've never tried it, you'll enjoy it. I don't know, I don't have a temperature report from, the man cave, but, it's probably north of 100 degrees. Yeah. Hi, I'm Bob. This, of course, is Thorn in the Side Thursday on the Horn. And, ooh, we've got some doozies. But every program here at the Horn begins with gratitude, because that's how we keep the program on the air, seeing as how we don't have any ads for steel buildings or Bella wood floors or radios in the shape of waves that sit on a table and a night table next to your mattress made of your Swedish mattress made of foam developed by NASA that will withstand the weight of a 16-pound bowling ball that will then be picked up by a vacuum cleaner and has on it pillows that were invented by a meth head. Nope, none of that. None of that whatsoever. But what we do have is conversation radio here, uninterrupted by commercial matter, and featuring you and me and us and we. And with any luck at all, you know, we'll have some of that this evening. So thanks go out to our subscribers for the third day of the month. What that means in particular is thanks to Stephen. Thank you very, very kindly. Thank you to Janice. Thank you to Gene and Ann across the pond. Thank you to John. Thank you all so very much for being supporters of this little independent, liberal, progressive broadcast effort that has been ongoing for these many years. You know, next month is anniversary month at the Horn. Yeah. Let's see. Next month, 21.
at 20. Next month will be 15 years in this particular format. And 16 and a half years, no. Closing on 17 years overall, which is amazing even to me. But, well, that's for next month, though. So for the time being, well, yes, I agree. Flavio getting in early. Bill Barr is a dirty cop sucker. Yeah, that he is. And speaking of dirty cops, breaking news just in the last few minutes. Seven police officers from Rochester, New York, have been at least suspended over what they did to Daniel Prude. They killed Daniel Prude is what they did. He was 41 years old. He was in extreme mental crisis. His brother called for help, and they sent the cops instead, and the cops murdered him. He was, of course, an African-American man. I hate saying of course, but that's the way it is. You know, and the way they murdered him is they put what they called a spit bag over his head and suffocated him and pushed him to the ground and crushed the life out of him. New York Attorney General Letitia James offered up her first comment on the case, promising to the Prude family a fair and independent investigation. We will work tirelessly to provide the transparency and accountability that all our communities deserve. Because heretofore, the city of New York, or I mean, not the city of New York, the city of Rochester hasn't. So let that be a lesson to, say another African-American attorney general, this one in particular being in the common poverty. That really was good, Dave in the Blind. The one from the common poverty of Kentucky Stan. That you actually move and you begin to take action. Yeah. Stand by. All good. So hopefully Letitia James will get to the bottom of it, and maybe those cops will actually be prosecuted for the murder that they committed. You know, it's almost like whoever is coming up with ideas for policing in this country are abjectly evil, that they just sit around trying to think of more and varied and brutal ways, hateful ways, to kill African-American men and women. But yes, young up-and-coming attorney general in Kentucky, pay attention to Letitia James. You might learn something if you can ever manage to, you know, get your nose out from betwixt the nether cheeks of Donald J. Trump. That, of course, is anybody's guess. Oh, a fundraising goal for this evening. $265. That'll get us caught up with yesterday and give us a, you know, hopefully non-miraculous Friday on the front porch. $265, and our buddy David in South Carolina, Stan, where he sits day by day and watches the maggot governor of his state try to kill off more South Carolinians. Remember, it doesn't matter if they die after Election Day, as far as Nitwit Nero is concerned. What matters is that they go to the polls on Election Day so he can claim victory election on Election Night, while the various and sundry Trump organizations sue to stop other Americans from voting by mail by absentee ballot remotely and with less risk of dying from a goddamn pandemic. Right. So, thank you, David. We went from 265 to 240. That's mighty kind of you, David. Thank you very much. You know, we've spent a lot of time talking about the nexus between Corona Caligula and the 25th Amendment. I would dare say that if you add it all up, we've probably spent more time dealing with that topic than just about any other broadcast outlet. And that is saying quite a bit. And I mention that because one of the things that has transpired of late is the fact that Michael Schmidt wrote that book in, you know, Trump versus the United States of America, or Trump versus America, whatever it's called. And in it, he said that back in November 2019, that Nitwit Nero was rushed to Walter Reed Army Medical Center, or Military Medical Center, or whatever we're calling it these days, because of a cerebral event. That's a pretty general statement. Maybe he was aphasic, as we were talking about. And somebody told Corona Caligula about it, and he responded, "I did not have a series of mini strokes." When that magic phrase, "a series of mini strokes," hadn't been used by Mr. Schmidt. So, a phrase, again, coined here on the horn, because we're so far out in front of the curve, it's like being on a ramrod straight road, "stoke the stroke" appears to be in motion. As Anatole pointed out in the chat room just a moment ago, he was stroked out. Well, that got me to thinking, in conjunction with a new ad from the Lincoln Project, because the enemy of my enemy is my friend right now, and it's a hell of a way to do business, but it's what we've got. oh my, going back for a moment, "pillows invented by a meth head, urethra," cries Brother Deacon Asa. "I knew I've seen that guy somewhere. The My Pillow guy is Tiger King." Oh, please, Brother Deacon, tell me you didn't watch Tiger King. I think I'm the last person in America who hasn't. I read somewhere the other day that Carol Baskin is going to be on Dancing with the Stars. That's about as close as I get to pop culture, because if I get any closer, I'll probably run screaming into the night. Or broad daylight, depending on what time of day it is. But anyway, the whole business of Corona Caligula's mental health has come into play. And as Darlene in Connecticut just noted by email, yeah, imagine if social or mental health workers were dispatched to deal with Mr. Prude instead. He'd still be alive. Again, what's the police budget in New York? Billions and billions of dollars. Yeah. Hey, thank you, Jeremy in Vermont. You just got us down to 235 to go. Thank you, Jeremy. That's tremendous. Thank you so much. The part of America that isn't maggots, which is, somewhere between 60 to 67% of America, knows that he's not okay. And we've got this sickening sense of dread and trepidation, wondering how a noisy, ignorant, you know, picks their teeth with their own toenail clippings plurality of Americans are going to manage to keep him in there for four more years, and what we're going to do if they'd manage it. Well, I'm getting ahead of myself. Oh, Darlene says, you've got competition. I haven't seen Tiger King either, so move over. Thank God there's two of us. But I got to thinking, as I often do, because he was a dear friend of the program and he meant ever so much to so many of us. I got to thinking about Bill, Mr. Stress Miller. Bluesman extraordinaire, raconteur, teller of stories. Held down the bandstand at the Euclid Tavern and several other venues in the Cleveland area for a lot of years. God, he was good. And among other things, part of why I'm thinking of him on this Thorn in the Side Thursday, I saw the latest piece out from the Lincoln Project. Oh, Jesus, I've started something. Flavio says, don't insult members of the Horn Community Congregation. You are not the only one who hasn't watched Tiger King. I haven't either. I've never watched reality TV. I stopped watching TV back when Jerry Springer spiraled out of control. Hell, Flavio, I never knew he had unspiraled into it. That's three. Oh, there's four. Jeremy says, no, there's three of us, Bob. That was before Flavio. I refused to watch it based on what people said. Felt it was watched for all the offensive reasons I won't stand for, Tiger King. So there's four of us. We've got enough for bridge. Herr Gottlieb, Mrs. Claypool. Mrs. Claypool, Herr Gottlieb. Good, we know we've got enough for bridge. Five, Ralphs, I haven't seen Tiger King either. Although I do like Big Cat Rescue. There's a big difference between Tiger King and Big Cat Rescue. Six, Jack in Shreveport, I haven't seen Tiger King either. There's hope for humanity. And I'm right there with Flavio. I don't recall watching any reality TV. Who Wants to Marry a Millionaire's House? Nope. Great Race? Nope. Kick Me Off the Island? Nope. Girls in Alabama going, woo! Nope. Girls in New Jersey going, woo! Nope. The closest I've ever gotten to reality TV, I guess, was my having enjoyed the work of Anthony Bourdain, but that wasn't reality TV. Those were hybrid documentaries. The Apprentice, never watched. I think I accidentally saw clips of Donald Trump saying, "You fired." And that's about it. Oh, we're up to seven, Bill in Allentown. There's seven of us. No Tiger King for Bill. Oh, and thanks. Thanks very kindly, Bill. Bill jumped in. And let's see. We're down to 210. Thank you, Bill. Thanks a ton. And Bill even set up a brand new subscription. Eight, no Tiger King for me, Bob. Do we have enough for a Sandlot team? We're very near. We're very near, Glenn. Is Charlene in Rogues Island Tiger King? I don't even know what you're talking about. Well, that means we're up to nine, and that means that Charlene gets to manage the Sandlot baseball team. This is good. Steve in New York noting, reality TV, actual reality is fucking weird enough. Why would I seek something even worse? Well, that's absolutely true. And there's no reality in it. Anyway, back to what I was talking about. Thinking of Mr. Stress. Well, on a number of occasions, he told us where that nickname came from. Before he was Mr. Stress, he was Bill Miller. And recall that the toll-free number that we have here is named the Stress Line. It's named after him. But at one point in time, Bill was married to a woman who was a nurse on a psych ward somewhere in the greater Cleveland area. And when someone went into mental health crisis, instead of, you know, flashing lights or yelling code purple or whatever, they would say, Mr. Stress to the fourth floor, Mr. Stress to the fourth floor, or whatever floor it was, calling Mr. Stress, and the team would come and hopefully restore the patient to some semblance of harmony and order. And so Bill took on the nickname Mr. Stress, and it became the Mr. Stress Blues Band. And I thought of all of this, because that's just how my mind works. I thought of all this when I saw the latest ad from the Lincoln Project. It's titled, What Really Happened at Walter Reed? And it features an animation of the back of Nitwit Nero as he's walking down a corridor. His yellow hair arranged, coiffed around his pink and speckled and orange bald spot, male pattern baldness spot. Recall that in his divorce from, I think, Ivana, she testified about how he beat her up when he had pain from a hair replacement procedure from a doctor that she had gone to because he was in so much pain. James in Illinois says, I'm playing left out. Called it. No Tiger King. So we're up to 10. We've got a designated hitter now. Irish Dave says, hell, Bob, I don't even watch golf with that other Tiger. 12. Wow. 13, our buddy Lou. Goodness me. We've got enough now for a complete pickup game of hoops with a couple of subs. 13. Wow. But anyway, the animation features, you know, him from the back, the bald spot, and walking down the hall, and they've clipped together several of his, shall we say, more infamous statements. And in the beginning, he's in a suit coat. And it slowly changes over time.
The American dream is dead. They say a wall is medieval. Well, so is a wheel.
I see the disinfectant by injection inside, almost a cleaning.
As you take a shower, the water doesn't come out. So what do? You just stand there longer, or you take a shower longer? Because my hair, I don't know about you, but it has to be perfect.
There's nobody that understands the horror of nuclear better.
And I stopped it because that's the point at which his suit coat dissolves and becomes one of those groovy hospital gowns that ties in the back. No one understands the horror of nuclear.
Better than me.
I'm a very stable genius.
Hold still, Donnie.
I don't know what I said. I don't remember.
And that's when they strapped the straitjacket on. And that's when I thought of Mr. Stress to the psych ward. Mr. Stress to the psych ward. And again, these are all his own words.
Genius.
Hold still, Donnie.
I don't know what I said. I don't remember.
Well, we do.
Bing, 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 bing.
Rudy G. Rudy G. You are needed at the front desk for evaluation.
Rudy G. Rudy G. Mr. Stress. Mr. Stress to... Mr. Stress to Walter Reed. Mr. Stress to Walter Reed. Wait, the counting continues. You got, you know, there's ciphering going on here. I'm going to screw up sooner or later. Ron and Raleigh says, hey, can I play first base? We don't need no stinking fake reality. The only thing close to reality TV I watch are the car restoration shows. Very talented people doing amazing work. I'm a car nut. I'd never watch a show with a guy wearing a mullet. Fair enough. 14. Tom in sunny San Rafael, no Tiger King, no TV. 15. Megan says, I'm going out on a limb here. I've watched some reality TV and still haven't seen Tiger King. 16. Dear God, we're going to have two more and we got our own baseball team or our own baseball series. Two teams. We're a league. We can have a bubble. So that is a devastating clip. And he'll see it. Oh, yes, Jesus, he'll see it because somehow or another, somebody makes sure. And you got to wonder who that is inside the White House who makes sure that he sees these Lincoln Project ads. It's kind of amazing, really. Because you'd think that most of the maggots would try to, you know, hide it from him. Because we know they try to hide other stuff from him. But so it was that the ad came out pointing out what his ratings were. Steven, no Tiger King here. Steve from North Carolina. And that's 17. Yeah, he had terrible ratings for the RNC, otherwise known as his super spreader event. And the Lincoln Project dealt with it brutally.
Uh-oh, Donald. Bad news. The ratings are in for your convention. It's not pretty.
Biden had better ratings than the president last night.
Joe Biden beat you. By a lot.
The TV president, the reality TV president who sold himself as a showman.
Below Joe Biden and Kamala Harris.
And these two?
Is yet to come!
Embarrassing. Democrats beat you in ratings every night. Except one. When your wife was giving a speech. Ouch! That's gotta be awkward at the dinner table. Even Fox said you were low energy.
It didn't seem to have the bite.
He was, I think, a little flat.
We know it's different now. You're tired. It's hard to keep your ratings up. You used to get applause. Now, get ready to hear.
You're fired.
It's hard to keep your ratings up. Well, he saw that and proceeded to Twitter to provide more evidence of his status of non-compos mentis.
We had far more people, many millions, watching us at the RNC than did Sleepy Joe and the DNC, and yet an ad just ran saying the opposite. This is what we're up against. Lies. But we will win.
Of course, that's what he said about the popular vote totals in 2016 when he got his ass handed to him by some 3 million votes. Yeah. Wow. Just coming a little bit, you know, unglued. Dave number 11, running against the grain. Tiger King? I saw it 11 times, you know, because he's Dave number 11. Yeah, wow. And probably the bigger story is his declaration yesterday, his criminal act yesterday. I mean, another impeachable offense that will go by the boards, in which he told maggots in North Carolina to vote twice. Vote once at the polls and then vote by mail. This prompted the state of North Carolina to have to issue a message because, you know, you got to give this message to the goddamn maggots. You have to explain to them, if you do that, you'll be committing a felony. Nonetheless, Maggot Barbie, Kaylee Maganini, was there to defend him. Because, of course, she was. No, he wasn't telling people to vote twice. He was telling people to vote twice.
Yes, John. Kaylee, do you acknowledge that it is illegal in this country to vote twice in the same election?
Are you referring to the president's comments earlier today?
I'm just asking you a basic yes or no question.
The president
do you
not,
believe it is illegal to vote twice the president, in this country?
The president does not.
Yeah, Kelly, you got you transferred from one law school to Harvard, and those pitiful, benighted fools actually handed you a law sheepskin. So is it just as a general principle, is it illegal to vote twice in the same election in this country there, Kaylee Maganini? I find it hilarious that she's, oh, you're talking about what the president said. She's still seething with jealousy that Kim Jong-un has never winked at her.
Yes or no question. Do you believe it is illegal to vote twice in this country?
The president does not condone unlawful voting. The president's been very clear about this. I'm once again not surprised the media is taking the president out of context. Do you recall what the president said on this matter specifically?
I haven't.
Yeah. Got context for days there, Kaylee.
Here, sure.
Okay, maybe you should read it out for me then.
Okay, so the president said that you should go to your poll, you should vote early by mail, and you should go either early voting or day of and try to vote again. So he is asking people to vote by mail and then to go down to the polling place on election day and to vote again if they can't confirm their vote has been counted.
You're missing a very crucial line from the president's remarks. If it is not tabulated, meaning your mail-in vote, then you will be able to vote in person. If it is not tabulated.
Yeah, this is why there are at least five states in this country that do not count any mail-in votes until election day. So those.
Yeah. So he did it. He encouraged people to vote twice. I don't know about you, but I need some soup. I need a big bag of soup. It's just going to be one of those days. Lou asking, did the Horn Family Community Congregation fly to D.C. in black uniforms without inviting me? Well, you have to sign up at the website. Air Antifa. We don't have any control over that, Lou. Mm-hmm. Bill in Allentown says, hey, remember his ramblings about the audience at his inauguration? Sure. I also remember him talking about American carnage and we all bleed. He likes to talk about bleeding. Because he's a sick bastard is what it boils down to. Jesus. And once again, today, Joe Biden just demonstrated the fact that he is far more decent than Nitwit Nero can or ever will be, meeting with the family there in Kenosha, Wisconsin. You know, the family that Nitwit Nero wouldn't meet with. Because
they wanted to have a lawyer there.
Really? You're scared of the family lawyer, are you? Okay. And then this from earlier today at a Biden event in Kenosha at a church there. Woman gets up to ask a question.
Bragging about you.
Hello, my name is Portia Bennett. I'm just going to be honest, Mr. Biden. I was told to go off this paper, but I can't. You need the truth. And I'm part of the truth. Sure. I was born here, raised here, first eighth grade class of the school that was named after his mother, so I have to give you the truth of the people. And the truth of the matter is, we are heavily angry. Not angry as to where people say, oh, they're protesting. There's a difference between a protester and a rioter. A very big difference. We protest to get our voices heard. We protest to show that not just blacks are tired of what's going on. As you can see, there are blacks, whites, Muslims, Chinese, Hispanic that are out there. We came together to help get this community together as well because we live here and we want it to stay the way we've always had it. But the changes that we want has to be more in effect. We hear so many people saying, oh, we're going to give you this, we're going to give you that. But we have yet to see action. And I was always raised to go off action and not words, because you'll be let down every single time. And the action we want are hold these officers accountable to the same crimes that we guilty had accountable to. If I was that officer, I would be under Kenosha County Jail right now. If I was these officers who commit these crimes, because if a medical examiner does their job and says, oh, I'm ruling it homicide, that's murder. Why are they not being done the same exact way that me or my brothers and sisters out here in this world are being treated? Why are there more police officers in the black neighborhoods than in other neighborhoods? Why are we more targeted than anybody else? We walk somewhere, automatically it's you fit the description. We wear something, automatically it's, oh, you're a bad person. I'm only 31, and I've seen enough within these last 2 years to say I'm tired. I'm a mother. My oldest is 13. My twins are 9. I do this because I want their future to be better than what I have right now, because my present is not good. But I speak because I want the truth heard, and I speak for the people in this city because I live in this city. And I'm out here with these people. A lot of people won't tell the truth, but I'm telling the truth. It's not what a lot of people think it is for us. We want the same exact rights as others. We want to be treated just like everyone else. A lot of us get denied jobs because we mark that box as black or African American, knowing we are overly qualified for that position. People come in and tear down our houses in our neighborhoods instead of fixing them up and making them better. And now we're all pushed to one side of town. Gentrification has to stop as well. We can't get that if someone with that voice can't put that into effect. That's all we're asking. We want the same treatment. We're not asking, oh, put us above anybody. We're not saying we matter more than anybody. None of that. But for so many decades, we've been shown we don't matter. And right now, we just want someone who's actually going to show and put that action in. It's a lot of stuff we want done. And being someone who is out here, I literally live directly behind this church. I know the pastor. I come over and help with the food pantry some days. So I know it. I see it, I live it. Others who don't see it and live it can't tell you the truth. They can't really give you the in-depth things that we're going through out here as black and brown people. So I'm telling you, it's way more that we want done. And it didn't just start with Jacob. But we want change. We want change. So I thank you for coming to hear me.
Powerful, earnest, and honest. And what will happen now, if it hasn't happened already, is the MAGOT campaign will be all over the place, hooting and hollering.
Joe Biden has prepped, has people with prepped speeches planted in his audience.
Ain't necessarily true. Go back to the beginning, because this is important. Grace Lutheran Church, she's got a piece of paper in her hands.
I'm just going to be honest, Mr. Biden. I was told to go off this paper, but I can't. You need.
That's important. I was told to go off this piece of paper, but I can't. She doesn't say, your campaign told me to, or you told me to, or your wife Jill Biden told me to, or Kamala Harris told me to. I was told, passive voice. That could very, very well be someone in the activist community who had put together bullet points. There's no way of knowing. But of course, what we're going to get out of this, because of the era in which we live, is
Joe Biden can't answer a question that isn't already scripted.
God. But her words were earnest, honest, and passionate. And I'm guessing Joe Biden appreciated them. Yeah. Meanwhile, we had Kaylee McEnany there, who took Donald Trump out of context. He told people to vote twice, which is not the same as telling people to vote twice. But the best part of the whole vote twice gate comes from Attorney General Bill Pepe the Frog Barr, who showed up on CNN to declare that Donald Trump, you know, don't believe your lying ears. Donald Trump didn't tell people to vote twice. No, of course not. And it got pretty embarrassing pretty quickly with Wolf Blitzer asking Barr whether is there any state in which you can vote twice? Maybe you can change your vote up to a particular time. I don't know what the law is. The Attorney General of the United States of America does not know what the law is in regard to whether or not a person can vote twice. All righty then. This in turn prompted Ted Lieu to send a one-sentence letter to Bill Pepe the Frog Barr to prosecution. As Darlene pointed out, dude's got to get in the executive branch at some point. Maybe vice president to our first woman president? Or how about AG in a Biden-Harris administration? Huh? Huh? Be fine by me. Of course, if you really want to see maggot heads explode, Attorney General Hillary Clinton would be pretty freaking awesome, too. You know, just to own the maggots. No, Ted Lieu sent a one-sentence letter. Attorney General William Barr, U.S. Department of Justice, 950 Pennsylvania Avenue, Northwest, Washington, D.C., 20530-0001. Dear Attorney General Barr, Federal law prohibits voting twice in the same election, 52 U.S.C. Section 10307. Sincerely, Ted W. Liu. God, he is such a... Barr is such a... just a, just, and I'm sorry, Barr and naked in the same sentence is enough to ruin dinner in all three time zones at once, but he is such a nakedly obvious hack. It's almost unfathomable. Oh, and since it is Thorn in the Side Thursday, we need to get past this one, too. Because there are maggots all over America, plum having a baby right now over Nancy Pelosi got her hair done. It's not in the Constitution. She's just a hypocrite. Yeah, I saw that earlier today. I was like, fuck, really? This is, and of course, it'll be the only thing they talk about over at Fox Noise and Onan, the network that spills its news upon the ground. She got set up. Nancy did. She was trying to get a blowout and called her, you called a hairdresser recommended to her, who said, well, yeah, but you can, you know, I can come to your house, but you can come into the shop. We can have one customer at a time. I think the word the guy used was client, but you cannot be a client of a hairdresser. Hairdressers don't have clients. They don't, because of the meaning of the word. And if more people understood the things that words mean, the word client would be seldom used, and even lawyers would probably go, no, I don't think I want that. Doctors have patients. Lawyers have clients. Maybe ad firms have clients, but no. Architects, perhaps? That. Cliens clientis, out of the Latin, did not originally apply to lawyers. It applied to patrician Romans. And sometimes being a patrician Roman was kind of a shitty thing to have to be. Because the first thing that happened every morning, you know, coffee had not yet been discovered, so, you know, there's that. You know, you get up in the morning and you have some rustic bread drizzled with rotten fish sauce. Hey, Grandpa, what's for supper? Yum, yum. And then the minute you open the door of your house up on the Palatine Hill, there's a whole passel of people gathered around the front door wanting you to do shit for them. And it was a social relationship. And because you were a patrician and because of the way the rules of the government worked, you kind of were a lawyer, only they didn't have... There were people who dedicated their lives to the practice of law or legal proceedings, you know, Marcus Tullius Cicero being one of them. But if you were a patrician, you had people who showed up at your door wanting you to do shit for them, and you, in turn, agreed that if you did shit for them when you needed shit done for you, that you could call on them to do it. A client is a form of servant. Slave. Indentured servitude. It really. But anyway, this hairdresser thinks he has clients, and he invited Nancy Pelosi to come in and get her hair blown out at the shop there in San Francisco. So she does. And in the 15 seconds it took her from going from the hair washing bowl to the hair dryer or chair or however that stuff works, she didn't have a mask on. And the owner of the shop, who was a genuine asshole, immediately snagged the security camera footage and threw it out to the right-wing media so that the right-wing media could proceed to having babies. And fits and conniptions and purple polka-dotted blue screaming hissies. Nancy Pelosi, she personally destroyed the entire economy of the world. God damn, we won't wear a mask, and we gotta wear a mask, and it's in the Constitution. So that's gone around the newscape today, because no one has the ability to stop this silly shit before it gets started. Ugh. And it turns out that the stylist who kind of got the whole ball rolling by inviting her into the shop, the owner of the shop threw the typical right-wing pissy-hissy fit. And then the hairstylist said, oh, no. He says he's been shut down. Sorry. We've been opening up, and he's been charging us chair leases all along. Been in violation of the law. Because with 185 plus thousand Americans dead, this is what we're worrying about. Or not we per se, but what the maggots are having a hissy about. Own the libs! Own the libs! And last night, stopping by the Rippy Mart on the way home after picking Ferg up from work, the clerk there informed me that a guy with media credentials on him stopped in here the other day, and he told me this here virus will be over by November 3rd. Yep, election day, it'll all go away. And I couldn't let it go. And I turned to him and I said, son, that was said by someone who should not be trusted to convey information. I can promise you this virus is very real. And if I was a praying man, I'd pray you never find out the hard way. Do not believe anyone who tells you it'll be over by election day. Because that's what Donald Trump keeps saying. And son, Donald Trump also said it was one person coming from China. He also said it was five cases, and then it would be down to one and then zero. He said that the sunshine of spring and summer would kill it. And then he said someday it'll just magically disappear. Or he said that maybe you can get rid of it by ingesting antiseptics. I said, please educate yourself. Because I don't want you or anybody you care about to become a victim of the hateful, brutal misinformation, disinformation, and outright stupidity that's being peddled by supporters of Donald Trump. Please. Well, there you go. Nancy didn't wear a mask. Lou pointing out, how often does Trump wear a mask? Next to never. How many people were wearing masks in that maggot super spreader event at his cool kids clavern meeting? Well, I think we've passed two baseball teams. Brother Deacon Asa saying, I wouldn't watch Tiger King with your eyes, Bob. Well, that's cold. But noted, if Hillary Rodham Clinton became AG, the maggots will be so mad they'll go out and buy another round of Yeti coolers and set them on fire. That's a promise. I have no doubt whatsoever. And Nancy Pelosi pointed out something along those lines. She said, what a pity that the Republicans are more upset about me wearing a mask than 185,000 plus dead Americans. Oh, that too. And by the way, that wasn't Ferg. That was somebody else. I was bringing Ferg home from work. This was a clerk at a... But Jeremy says, don't let him forget shoving light bulbs up the ass could kill as well. I don't think a light bulb can stand that stress. The glass is too thin. And, by the way, this being Thorn in the Side Thursday, taking his cue from the hissies that Trump and other maggots are having, let's check in with Josh Bernstein, who advises people, really, no kidding, to take pot shots at the police. You know, unless, of course, you're Black Lives Matter, in which case you're an anarchist group funded by George Soros and people flying airplanes in black uniforms with bags of soup and, you know, whatever. Ugh. You may recall we had the clip a little while back where he said, nope, no mail-in voting for old people. Old people have to go and vote in person and get sick and die. And anyone advocating for relaxed absentee voting or mail-in ballots, well, they should have been aborted, says abortion opponent Josh Bernstein. Really, I can't make this stuff up. Dear God, how does it... You know, Marvelline...
The Democrat media complex is keeping COVID in the news cycle so that they can push for mail-in ballots instead of voting in person for the 2020 election. Now, why would that be? Well, pretty simple. Because they have a dementia-riddled piece of crap scumbag, child predator, and molester as their nominee. And they know that he doesn't excite anybody except maybe pedophiles and sick, twisted individuals. And of course, these people that are rioting.
Has he ever even seen any of the news about Donald Trump? Pedophile? Has he ever seen pictures of Trump with little princess? I wank him a daddy Trump Kushner.
Hitting and looting. So they know that they have no chance, zero chance of winning. There is only one way they can win, and that is to steal it because they're all a bunch of soulless pieces of crap. Okay? These people should have been aborted, okay? These people are disgusting. I'm pro-life, too. But, man, I would have loved to have these people ripped apart, okay? These people are sick. They're evil. They're twisted. They're satanic. They are absolute dog shit, okay? So here, print that one, right-wing watch, you commie fascist bastards. This election is truly Trump or death. It is the death of your America. It is the death of your Second Amendment. It is your death and your right to speak freely. My right to speak freely.
Okay. Wait a minute. This needs help. This may take just a second, but it'll be worth it. Oh, let's try this.
Win, and that is to steal it because they're all a bunch of soulless pieces of crap, okay? These people should have been aborted, okay? These people are disgusting. I'm pro-life too, but man, I would have loved to have these people ripped apart, okay? These people are sick. They're evil, they're twisted, they're satanic, They are absolute dog shit, okay? So here, print that one, right-wing watch, you commie fascist bastards. This election is truly Trump or death. It is the death of your America. It is the death of your Second Amendment. It is your death and your right to speak freely. My right to speak freely, okay? Everything is on the line. My career, everything is on the line. Take this serious, please. I am begging you to take this
seriously, you fucking
share
moron.
This video, warts and all, language and all, I don't
what
care.
What kind of warts,
I'm
Josh?
I'm passionate. This is what I do, and I will do this to the last breath on earth, okay? Because this, to me, is not work. This is passion. This is what I love to do. There's not a minute, an hour, whatever, that goes by in the day where I'm not thinking to myself, how can I do more? What else can I do to save this country? This shit ain't no act for me. This is real. I live this shit. I breathe this shit.
And at least he admits it's shit. And there's a promise.
And I will, till my last dying fucking breath.
Good for you, Joshy. We're looking forward to that day. Yeah. All that over, well, mail-in ballots. James in Illinois noticed it too. I'm pro-life, but abort them. And these commie fascists, that's a pretty neat trick, being a commie fascist. Das ist die Arbeit von Kommunisten. No, it's not. Yet. And see if he could ever work up the courage, he'd actually be dangerous. But Jesus Christ, you could destroy him with a beach ball. He wants people to be ripped apart. These people. Ripped apart. But you have to admit it was at least a little bit more entertaining with the Horst Wessel song in accompaniment. It gave it an air of authenticity. Kyle pointing out, Jesus, that's a lot of projection right there. I know, it's a train load, isn't it? Kyle adding, Bob, I'm disappointed in you. How could you leave out that BLM is not only anarchist, but fascist, socialist, communist, Marxist? Get it right, man! We regret the error. That's Josh Bernstein. But what would Thorn in the Side Thursday be without a little good old Dave Daubenmeyer reprising his role in Black Like Me? Because having to wear a mask is the exact same thing as being denied service at a lunch counter. Or the exact same thing as, say, Elgin Baylor of the 1960 Minneapolis Lakers being denied lodging in a hotel in Charleston, West Virginia. It's the exact same thing. Oh, yeah. Oh, you're gonna drive her crazy. Jeremy just wrote in and said, Siri, cue up Lee Greenwood and God Bless the USA, please. Good, she didn't hear us. But no, the Horst Wessel song is a much better accompaniment. Just like when you're dealing with Dave Daubenmeyer, Christian, well, it goes better with this. He's not going to wear no mask. It's in the Constitution. It is.
I ain't wearing no mask. You hear me? I ain't wearing no mask. I know the mask doesn't work. And I'm not going to wear my mask to make the worker at T-Mobile feel better. I'm not going to do that. That's bearing false witness. I know the mask doesn't work. I'm not going to wear my mask when I go into Staples. I'm just not going to do it. I know the mask doesn't work. I'm not going to try to make the people at Best Buy feel better by putting one on. I don't care what their sign says. I just couldn't. I had to fight three fights yesterday over the stinking mask. Now, to some of you that may not bother, folks, I want you to know this from my heart to your heart. I think the forced wearing of masks is exceedingly dangerous to our American society. And I cannot believe, as I go out on a perfectly beautiful, sunlit, warm day here in Ohio, the number of people I see outside wearing masks. I'm driving down the road in a car wearing a mask. I can't believe it. And I made the decision, for me, I'll have no part of it. I will have no part of it. T-Mobile guy said, well, we'll have to do the work outside. They wouldn't let me in. And the boss got involved. The manager got involved with it. I said, ma'am, I have a heart condition. I don't even have to tell you that. I have reasons I'm not going to wear a mask. It's medical. And are you refusing to give me service because of a medical condition that I have? And she just looked at me because she didn't know what to say. And then I really pulled the Trump card.
No, she looked at him. She looked at him because, well, it had been a while since she'd seen that much stupid gathered together in one human form.
I said, I think I was born with this medical condition. I'm not sure. I think I was. And I want to ask you something, ma'am. Would you refuse to serve somebody because they're black? Of course, your eyes got big as dollar bills. How dare I say that? So I was born with this condition, ma'am. And you would not ask a black man to step outside of the building? And you're not going to ask me to do it. She stormed away, as you can probably imagine.
Did you storm into the store?
Ruined the whole day.
Ruined the whole day. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Whole thing. So, you know, one can only hope that every word of that was heard by the goddess of irony. And that something will come of it. Yeah, Kyle pointing out, he hasn't ever worn it, but he knows it doesn't work. Damn, I love me some right-wing Christian logic. The fuck does the weather have to do with wearing a mask during a pandemic, you stupid fuck? Shit, now I'm getting all worked up again, says Kyle. Skin color got nothing to do with protecting people's health. I fucking hate these people. Well, it's easy to do. Because they work at making it easy to do. And by the way, we're into the second hour of the program. We got $210 to finish fundraising for this evening, and then maybe, and then, well, you know, I'd hush if we wiped that out. It'd be wonderful. Steve in New York pointing out, but the HIPAA and the ADA and NHL and MLB and NYC and CIA and the DOD and the RCC and the MOUSE. And by the way, if a black man came into my office without a mask, I would absolutely tell him not to come in unless he wore it. And that would be perfectly legal. Because it is not race-based. Now, see, it would be illegal to look at Dave Daubenmeyer and say, no, sir, we've got a rule against letting evangelical Christian Trump supporters into the building. But if you were in Indiana, you can, of course, tell people that they're not welcome to come into your pizza place because Mike Pence. God. Let me see if I have this straight, says Megan. They're pissed at Nancy Pelosi for not wearing a mask for 15 seconds, something they don't believe in anyway, for a virus they claim is a hoax and will be gone by Election Day. In a salon that wasn't closed during shutdown, in a shutdown that shouldn't have happened. Jesus fucking Christ, right-wing nuts, pick a lane and stay in it. Oh, no, 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 Megan, they're all over the road. Darlene in Connecticut says, I'm on the fence on this one, Bob, as far as Nancy's concerned. I'm amazed and blown away with Nancy's class and fashion sense. I simply don't know where she finds the time and how she does it as an 80-something year old. I even recognize that she was set up, that she's an old dog and knows the scams and tricks. She got hoodwinked, maybe out of desperation to continue with her pristine I've-got-it-all-together appearance. I like Nancy, and I think she'll outsmart Trump and Moscow Mitch every time, even though she can frustrate me at times, like acknowledging that though at those at times may be due to circumstances where she's privy to classified information that I'm not. When I think of Nancy Pelosi, I always think of that iconic black and white photo of a very young her and JFK. It's pretty clear that JFK is impressed because she's not only brilliant, but absolutely stunning and gorgeous. I'm talking Audrey Hepburn gorgeous. But honestly, Bob, that's all beside the point. She kind of fucked up. She should have been wearing a mask at all times while in that salon. Sorry. I'm unwilling to cut her slack on this one. She gave the maggots fodder. That was a lapse on her part. Please tell me what I'm missing. I really want to know so I can feel better. Well, I'm not known for the time that I've spent in salons getting my hair washed. But I have seen videos of what it's like to be waterboarded. What do the two have in common? Well, when you're getting waterboarded, they lean you back and they put cloth over your mouth and nose. And they slowly begin to saturate the cloth with water. And that's where the torture comes in. Now think about the salon. Into the chair's got a reclining back, the sink has a divot in the front that your neck lays in, and that allows your hair to fall back, and they proceed to wet your hair. If you are wearing a mask, and that mask gets wet, then that is one of those extremely rare circumstances where the mask is dangerous. Because it can impede airflow. And what started out as a shampoo and blowout turns into a waterboard and blowout. So, you know, yeah, maybe it was. I think when the guy invited her to the salon, that was the lapse. Because at that point in time, the salon owner was already setting the trap. And that's how ignorant the salon owner is. The salon owner did the whole thing because he was angry at Nancy Pelosi for shutting down California, utterly, completely, and totally oblivious to the fact that those are regulations that were signed into effect, not by Nancy Pelosi, who is a member of Congress and does not have the authority or the jurisdiction to do it, but by California Governor Gavin Newsom, who is decidedly not Nancy Pelosi. Ugh. Yeah. So, I don't think Darlene and I are that far apart on this one. And women are subjected to a standard I mean, you know, it's pretty much universal. But women are subjected to a standard that men are not. Women have to have fabulous hair. Women's clothing is scrutinized with microscopic obsession. Jesus, they criticized Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez for not showing up for her first day in Congress wearing a burlap sack. And because she is an octogenarian, she has to work hard at not looking like an octogenarian. Because then, oh Jesus, it would be even worse than it already is. But more particularly, as David in South Carolina Stan points out, she was the only person in the salon other than the stylist. There were no other customers in there. And so actually, by not wearing a mask, the person who was put at risk was Nancy. Because again, it turned out that the shop owner had been illegally opening in contravention of the mandates. But most of that will never make it to the teleprompter at Fox Noise or Onan, the network that spills its news upon the ground. Albert says, I would like for every evangelical maggot like Dave Daubenmeyer to say, if Biden wins, I will leave the country. Then if Biden wins, have someone in his congregation ask him, are you going to leave the country? Oh, let's not ask. If they say, I'm leaving if Biden wins, then, you know, we pay the cab fare and have it sitting outside his residence and escort him to the cab and there from there to the airport. Let him go to, oh, I don't know, Mother Russia, where they have much of religious freedom. As long as religious freedom does not criticize dear leader. Huggable, snuggleable, cuddable, lovable. Vlad Putin. Right. Cynthia, in the greater San Francisco area, says, the stupid is strong with the Trumpansies, Bob. It's strong, and they double down on it, too. They work at it. They work at it, Cynthia. Nancy's mask, Steve says, it's pretty simple. She shouldn't have had it around her chin. She did. It was probably the 15 seconds she didn't have it on. Sometimes I put it around my chin on the subway for a few seconds because I'm hot when nobody's around. It's nothing more complicated than she made a mistake for all of 15 seconds. Now let's add up all the lots more than 15 seconds that Nitwit Nero has stood there spewing and spraying and hooting and barking and grunting at God knows how many human beings without a mask. Shorty in L.A. with a photo. I found this car wearing a mask on Google. That's cute. It appears to be a little sedan, maybe a Volkswagen Beetle or something. It's got a giant cloth face mask on the front grill. Well played, Shorty. Well played. Oh, what else? Because there is ever so much. We'll save that. We'll save that. That's too Wednesday. Maybe even a little bit Pugsley too. I think I've got somebody on the phones. Let's run over and find out. Hey, welcome to the program.
Welcome to you too, my brother.
What's happening?
This is Silent R.
Yeah, I thought so. How you doing, Silent R?
I'm listening to what you're saying, and I'm so beside myself, I don't know where to go. I mean, I don't want to scream. I do not want to start screaming like a banshee. But, you know, this stuff is ridiculous. I was born in 58. I see what they're doing. My parents were upper middle class. My father established a barbershop. And I'm dealing with the covert right now. We cannot cut hair unless we're outside. That's costing me money. But they want to come up here and scream about Nancy going into a facility where there was nobody else around. Come on, look at the rules. The rules say 6 feet distance. If there's nobody else in that room, she is safe as hell.
Well, we don't know that we do. Lamar, we don't know. To be candid, we don't know, and the debate medically and scientifically is ongoing, the extent to which the droplets, or if aerosolized, the aerosols, remain suspended in the air. So we can't say that she was safe as hell. I think it was a mistake. I think it was a 15-second mistake as compared to the hours and hours and hours and hours and hours and hours of mistakes that it would, and they're not mistakes on his part. Those are intentionally dangerous acts that he performs.
Yes. But you know what? I would like to flip the script right quick.
All right.
I'm a Democrat. I'm a Democrat. I'm not a progressive. I'm not a liberal. I'm a Democrat. The way I was brought up in the 60s, I am an American first, a Democrat second, and my religion is none of your business. I would like to go back to that. And the reason I won't go back to that is because they throw up the religious garbage, which did not start until Reagan got in office. Like the person you were talking about, he's willing to abort the Democrats and all this stuff. They're forming a race war. I'm already prepared for it. I don't care because I'm going.
Well, let me go back to one historic observation.
Shoot.
It actually predates Reagan. If you want,
go ahead.
Okay, so data point one is the minute that the Supreme Court announced the decision in Roe v. Wade. Up until that point in time.
Oh yeah.
Up until that point in time, evangelical Christianity had focused almost exclusively on supporting segregation and Jim Crow. But they lost that war.
I'll give you that.
Hold on. So then Roe v. Wade comes along, and they've got a new billion-dollar industry in grunting and hooting about the precious fetuses. Add to that a weird little moment during the Carter presidency when, giving an interview to Playboy magazine, Jimmy Carter says that he, the Southern Baptist Sunday school teacher from Plains, Georgia, a married man, has from time to time lusted after women in his heart. And that set the evangelicals into a hopping up and down paroxysm frenzy of self-righteous fury. And Lamar, is the moment that propels Jerry Falwell into the moral majority, forming the moral majority, and the rest is history, as they say.
But you keep forgetting one part. Who invited them into the political field? Ronald Reagan. Because they were hooting and hollering, like you said, jumping up and down, doing backflips. But see, here's the problem that they cannot say and they cannot stand. Jimmy Carter's still alive, and he never cheated on his wife.
There's that.
So how can he be so damn bad if he's so damn pure? And you know what's really funny? He's the only president that is still living in an era that we can reclaim. Reagan's dead. Bush is dead. And there's going to be two more presidents who's going to be here. I'm going to tell you right now. I look at it being Clinton, Obama, and Carter still living when we get over this election. And see, I love the sheep herding and all the smoke and all the stuff they're pushing up America's butt. I went overseas. I told you I'm an undercover black militant. I also been in white corporate America. In 1982, my company sent my black ass over to Amsterdam to do an architectural project in the Netherlands. I had gotten to the point where I was so tired of hearing them lambaste Reagan. I didn't vote for Reagan the second time. I voted for Reagan the first time. I fucked up. Okay, I fucked up when I did that. And then I've been paying before my mistake because I went into school teaching because his trickle-down garbage told me and showed me that my race and Mexicans and everybody else who are colored will never get the opportunity to be an architect. I'll be damned if I'm going to die that way. So I've been teaching engineers. So far in my 32 years of teaching, I have saved 9 individuals, female and male. I'm proud of it. They call me now asking for my
help. Got a right to be proud.
To get over things. So I refuse to be a patsy to the BS. But getting back to my point, when I was overseas, I got so tired of watching news and all this other stuff. I was under the assumption that all the news was equal. When I realized, when I came back in 83, I went in 82, I came back in 83, and I realized I was spoon-fed what they wanted me to know. Because 3 months after I got landed in America, Reagan got on television and said, I may have inadvertently not knowing that I may have give arms to what I'm gone. I'm out of here. I'm out. The Iran-Contra stuff. And see, I'm watching Barr do the same garbage. Barr has the track record. Everybody's looking at everything. I love how the Republicans work. They throw so much stuff up, you don't know what to shoot. But see, I take President George Washington's theory. Don't shoot until you see the whites of their eyes, okay? And I take that because...
Or wait, you know, you can flip that around. You can flip that around too, Lamar. Don't shoot until you see the eyes of the whites.
No. I like it the other way. Because I'm not racist, but I do know racism
just being funny.
Exists. I know you were. I love you for that as my younger brother. Since I don't handle brothers, I got all sisters, okay? Work with me.
Doing my best.
I'm like this. I look at it like this. I see the garbage coming. I am a minority. I can't say nothing. I sent you some stuff earlier, and the phrases were what we're dealing with right now. And what I sent you came out in 1974. So the things that I'm looking at and the things that we're watching, history repeats, like you say, history repeats itself, but not exactly. But if you don't know your history, you don't know your past. And that is a common saying in the black minority. If you don't know where you've been, you don't know where you're going, to put it in today's situation. I have 2 young black sons. I got 3 daughters. I got a full house. 3 queens, 2 kings. One of my sons, my oldest son, moved to Arizona. I'm scared shitless for him out there. I am. because that is a radical, crazy group. They're acting like they want to come back to normalcy. Well, I try to tell my son, you're black. Do not do what white people do, because you're not a white person. If your white friends want to go jump off the cliff, keep your ass at home. If they want to go to the liquor store at 1 o'clock in the morning, keep your ass at home. If they want to go to this at this particular time, keep your ass at home. I'm tired of that. I'm tired of telling my children, stay here to save yourself. They don't hear that because they want to be normal like white people. That is the problem. Everybody wants to live like white people, but America, colored people. When I say colored people, I'm talking people who are not pasty white. You cannot go out and do things that you see pasty white people do. If you butt naked, black, and you walking down the street, you will be gunned down. If you're Mexican and you're walking backwards, you will be gunned down. If you're Asian, walking sideways, you will be gunned down. And guess what? You get to see the smoke screens of why you were walking sideways, why you were walking backwards, and why you were butt naked. They try to explain it. Just like Barr tries to explain Trump's telling people to vote twice. Come on now, everybody knows you can only vote one time in America. But under Trump and his regime, his fascist regime, and this is where they get us, Bob. I teach school. I know fascism. I love history. I'm watching the melting pot of Hitler and Mussolini. Even though he talks to Putin, he is taking Mussolini and Hitler's playbook. Look it up, brother. Look it up. His brown shirts are all these, what we call domestic terrorists, Proud Boys and all this. That is his regime. And until we face
they are his brown shirts.
Nowhere. Yes, they are. And, you know, it's real, I got a business call coming up on the line, so I'm going to let you go real quick. But it is real sad that America is falling for the hokey doke again. And the only people who are going to be hurt are white people who are not paying attention. That's all I got to say.
Well said, LeVar. Well said.
The majority of black people who are aware of what's going on, they are going to form a circle and hide in the best corner we can until this bullshit blows over. And I'm really sorry to say this.
No. The only question at this point, Lamar, is it going to blow over? Is there a blowover if he gets a second term? I just happen to be of the opinion that there isn't.
I'm like this. Let him have his second term. Because he is creating hear me out, Bob. They want a civil war so bad they can taste it. It's like the peppermint sugar cane that they want. And they're like, come on, let's do this. We're going to cheat and put Trump in there. So let him win it. I'm going to tell you right now. America is going to go into Iraq and Afghanistan and all this other type of situation. And all those people who were following Trump are going to be alienated. Because one thing about power only wants power. And if you don't have a position to help power, you are a problem. I don't care how much you kiss their ass. You are a problem because you can't deliver nothing to them. When you cannot give them what they need, they will cut you off at the knees. Trump wants to talk. Trump talks like a mafia boss.
That he does.
And if you know anything about the mafia, see, like, I'm like this. The worst thing that this clown could have going for him that would save America, MS, MS-13. He always loves to talk about MS-13.
Oh, I haven't heard of them in ages.
He never tells.
Haven't heard of them since 2018, along with the caravans.
But where did they originate from?
Central America. L.A. L.A.
Right. Where do I live? L.A.
Bingo.
I know why MS-13 was created. MS-13 was created like the Black Panthers were created. And what happened to the Black Panther creator? Herbert Hoover made sure that that particular organization will never bear.
No, J. Edgar proof. Hoover. Herbert Hoover was dead by then.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. Thank you.
Gotta keep our Hoover straight.
I'm like this. It ain't the damn what we talking about. Okay.
Yep. Well, listen, Lamar. You go and get that business call. It's nice hearing from you, man. Stay safe. Okay.
You know what? I'm going to tell you like this. Once I get out of this Intuit garbage that they got me for $64,000, I will start contributing.
Don't you worry about it. You take care of you, Lamar.
I do worry about you, brother, because you are my little brother.
All right. Thank you.
I'll talk to you later.
All right. Bye. Be good, Lamar. Bye now. Our buddy Silent R. Lamar. Don't hear from him a lot, but he brings the A game when he calls. Well, how about that? I just had a note from David in South Carolina, Stan. Turns out, I promise you, I had not seen this beforehand. When I played the clip of the young woman speaking the truth to Joe Biden in Kenosha, and I said, you'll notice what she didn't say. She said, I was told. She didn't say, y'all told me or your campaign told me. Well, it was just as I predicted. The little maggots and wingnuts started... It appears Joe Biden's campaign is screening the participants at his event in Kenosha and even gave the participants a script to read. I was told to go off this paper, but I can't. You need the truth. Well, Mirabile Dictu, Bill Kristol, who has spent an entire career being wrong about everything, proves the old adage about blind hogs finding an acorn now and then. Son of a gun. Bill Kristol saw that comment and said, this is a lie. The paper, damn, I predicted it. The paper Ms. Bennett chose not to read from was from her own organization, Black Lives Activists Kenosha, not from the Biden campaign. But in any case, Ms. Bennett chose to speak straight from the heart. If you're a Trump operative, you can't imagine such a thing. Bingo. Cowbell for me. Yes, in damn deedy. How about that? Well, he's, you know, going on 17 plus years at this. Indeed, Randy and PA pointing out, Hoover sucks. Both of them. Hoover, vacuum cleaners, right. Dave, number 11. Says, great to hear from Silent R. I agree, Dave. And Kyle said, I get where Silent R. Lamar is coming from, but I'd rather have no president than have Agent Orange Asshole for another 4 years. Yeah, I know. But over on Facebook today, Dave number 11 posited a couple of different electoral map scenarios, and one of them gave me the fantods. And it was the electoral college map based on the ability of states to run a clean and fair election. It did not end well. I know, Kyle, I know. When Bill Kristol is the voice of reason in a situation, we're fucked. Also, how much you want to bet the maggots get scripts? You're damn right they get scripts. Hell, Kayleigh McEnany was reading off a script when she said that we took Nitwit Nero out of context for pointing out that for telling his followers to try to vote twice in North Carolina. And of course, Q will be right there. They're being
prosecuted by the deep state.
Eesh. On and on and on it goes. Oh, and I had a... more often than not, these notes begin... I read these notes at the beginning of the program, and not after, and not well into it, but things just worked out differently in this instance. What did I do with it? Oh, there it is. Bob! Little known fact, but giraffes have excellent hearing. They have an infrasonic system that allows them to hear sounds from quite a distance. For instance, last night, Giraffery mentioned to me that he heard our beloved Tracy in Encino, California, holler out, "I can't believe that fucking giraffe Jeffrey knows who James Baldwin is. That Giraffery is amazing. I'm starting to think that damn giraffe knows more than Joey." Yes, Giraffery, as we have discussed before, is very high-minded, with lofty thoughts, and actually did graduate from high school. Unfortunately, Giraffery did not do so well in college because, well, hell, you know, he got high all the time. Hard for a giraffe not to. However, as a young boy, I remember seeing James Baldwin on shows such as Dick Cavett and Merv Griffin, as my mother often watched both of those programs regularly. As a boy, I had no idea who James Baldwin was, except to see him on television speaking so eloquently about race relations. I was so glad that my mother watched programs like Dick Cavett because this allowed me to have a foundation and understanding of the plight and struggles of the African-American community. Years later, I attended college and was reintroduced to James Baldwin, and what gestalt experience that was as I began to understand what Baldwin's words meant all those years later. Ironically, one of Baldwin's most famous lines is, "It is certain in any case that ignorance, allied with power, is the most ferocious enemy justice can have." I believe those words spoken by Baldwin over 50 years ago are so poignant as they describe the maggots and Donald Trump to a T. Tracy, a couple of weeks ago, suggested going to Canopy.com, Canopy.com, and if you have a library card, you can watch 10 movies or documentaries for a month. Please do so and check out the documentaries by the late, great James Baldwin. Thank you, Tracy. "What's that, Giraffery?" in British voice. "Due to my exquisite hearing and highest of intellectual nature, at this very moment I can hear America saying, 'Let's get rid of this thorn in our side once and for all.' So please go to vote.org and make sure your registration to vote is still valid." This has been Joey's Journal for the Thorn in the Side Thursday, the third day of September, with Giraffery hearing a hurting America. Indeed, hurting indeed. Oh, and John Aravosis reporting, Donald Trump refused to let American veterans, some amputees, participate in a U.S. military parade because
nobody wants to see that.
Oy. Well, I find no surprise in that whatsoever. And he was roundly and soundly burned as well in yet another Lincoln Project ad. This one in particular about American military heroes.
In Malmedy during the Second World War, the Nazis executed prisoners of war by machine gun, leaving them lying in the snow. In the Pacific, our captured flyboys were beheaded by Japanese soldiers, some of whom even practiced cannibalism on their still warm bodies. In Korea, along the frozen Yalu, Their fate was to die of starvation and frostbite. In Vietnam, they were roughly bound arms behind their backs until their shoulders dislocated again and again and again. They've been dragged from the burning remnants of downed helicopters and Humvees in Iraq, and they've fought to their last bullet on Afghanistan mountains before being murdered by radical jihadists. And yet...
He's a war hero because he was captured. I like people that weren't captured, okay?
No, Donald, you're wrong. They are heroes because they were captured. Thought we forgot?
Veterans for Responsible Leadership, in conjunction with the Lincoln Project. And I guess an ad like that is not a time to point out some of the atrocities that American troops committed against the Japanese as well in the Pacific Theater. It was brutal. It was hateful. At one point in time, the military back at Pearl Harbor seized countless Japanese ears, skulls, teeth. And in fact, one of the most disturbing scenes in the HBO series The South Pacific, which was the counterpart, the Pacific War counterpart to Band of Brothers, was one in which Remy Malek, who would first become famous for his character role playing a Marine named Fubar, pulled out his knife and began extracting teeth from a dead Japanese soldier. These things happened, and it is, in that case, a product of how thoroughly we had dehumanized our enemy in the Pacific Theater. But that doesn't change the truth of what is in that Lincoln Project ad. And it goes hand in hand with,
no one wants to see that.
In point of fact, it's now being reported that he threw a fit, according to the Atlantic, and reporter Jeffrey Goldberg. He threw a fit over flags being lowered to half-mast for the funeral of John McCain. Yeah, really. Jeffrey Goldberg reported Trump remained fixated on McCain, one of the few prominent Republicans to continue criticizing him after he won the nomination. When McCain died in August 2018, Trump told his senior staff, according to three sources with direct knowledge of the event,
"We're not going to support that loser's funeral."
And witnesses reported that he absolutely lost his shit when he saw the flags lowered to half staff.
"What the fuck are we doing that for? Guy was a fucking loser."
And then... and this is particularly disgusting, in large part because they have been laying in the dirt for 100 years. You remember when he chickened out of going to the Ain Marne American Cemetery in France? The cemetery that holds the remains of American doughboys killed in World War I? It was raining, and he was afraid he would get his hair wet, and he didn't want to go there. Because, well, everybody knew about his bone spurs problem, and what a goddamn mile wide yellow streak he has running down his belly. What a coward he is. Well, he didn't want to go to the cemetery, and he told aides, according to the Atlantic story,
"Why should I go to that cemetery? It's filled with losers. They were suckers."
God damn, that's sickening. I'm pro-peace. especially in wars of choice. But my God, the courage and determination that was shown at Ain Marne in the face of a German onslaught, well, it has become the stuff of legend, particularly in the Marine Corps. That was where they were said to have earned the nickname Devil Dogs, said to have been given them by the members of the Wehrmacht who fought them. Suckers. Suckers. Jesus. The very idea that he might even have a chance of being reelected when we know what he is in that regard speaks volumes more about who we, the people of the United States, have become. Even than it says about him. God. So it was nice to hear from Silent R. Anybody else wanting to jump in on the conversation, you are mighty welcome to. That's what makes this conversation radio. You know, we get going rather fast and furious on Friday on the Front Porch, and sometimes it's hard for people to get the things said that they want to say. But if you've, the rest of the week is wide open, too. So if you'd like to jump in, you know, the stress line is there, just like Silent R. Lamar proved. 844-843-4676, 844-THE-HORN. And, of course, on Skype, Bob Kincaid Horn. And you're welcome to jump in if you are so inclined. As Randy in PA puts it, it's one thing to be conflict-averse and pro-peace. It's quite another to be pro-war and be a chicken hawk. Yes, indeed. Putting it succinctly, Kyle says of the business of not wanting amputees to march in the parade, that fucking piece of shit. Succinct and to the point. Meanwhile, a report via Agence France-Presse, worldwide, some 7,000 healthcare workers have died from COVID-19. Leading the way are 1,300 dead in Mexico. Steve Coburn, head of economic and social justice at Amnesty International, said, "Every health worker has the right to be safe at work, and it's a scandal that so many are paying the ultimate price. Many months into the pandemic, health workers are still dying at horrific rates in countries such as Mexico, Brazil, and the USA, while the rapid spread of infections in South Africa and India show the need for all states to take action." They described the death rate among healthcare workers in Mexico as staggering. But before you queue up the Lee Greenwood, understand that we're very close to being able to chant, "We're number one! We're number one! USA! USA!" Because here in the United States, 1,077 healthcare workers have died. In the UK, 649, Brazil, 634, Russia, 631. They're probably lying. India, 573. And Amnesty International confesses that all of these numbers are likely a significant underestimate. Meanwhile, Make West Virginia Great Big Old Jim Justice, said, "Now, in no way, shape, form, or fashion here in West Virginia are we in a pickle. Why, we're whipped cream We ain't got no PPE problems. Because yesterday at 4 p.m., even though I do not want to, I'm going to have to order the bars in Monongalia County to shut down. God almighty. Didn't want to. But just like days after letting them open back up, they completed the first week of in-person classes up at Harvard on the Mon, my wonderful alma mater. And as the weekend arrived, just imagine that. Students flooded into downtown. The main drag in downtown is called High Street. They flooded into downtown and stood in line, butthole to belly button, waiting to get into bars and watering holes, LARPing and smollicking and grabulating and lollygagging and spewing and spraying and hooting and hollering and singing and partying and not a mask in sight. And so numbers are quickly on the rise in Monongalia County, which really upsets Make West Virginia Great Big Old Governor Jim Justice, because he wants them to be able to play high school football. But we're not in a pickle. Oh, and just in case you were wondering, while the rest of the country, and in fact, West Virginia itself, are literally suffering for want of relief. You know, how many millions of people are out of work right now? Make West Virginia Great Big Old Governor Jim Justice has been doing pretty darn good, you gotta say. Remember, Make West Virginia Great Big Old Governor Jim Justice is worth about $1.9 billion because it's a lot easier to be worth about $1.9 billion when you inherit a coal company. Because he did. And then, of course, he parlayed that into some other businesses, including the Greenbrier, where he'll be getting some tasty room rent off of the San Francisco 49ers. Yeah. And according to ProPublica, he has clocked something on the order of $24 million in PPA or PPP money. Somewhere between $11 million and $24 million for coronavirus relief. Right. Now, when you're worth $1.9 billion, $24 million is chicken feed. On the other hand, you take that $24 million that Make West Virginia Great Big Old Governor Jim Justice scammed off the federal government. Let's see. Let's see, 1,700,000 divided by 24. Well, hell, how about that? Unless my ciphering is dead wrong, and it could be, but I'm using a calculator here. You could take the $24 million and that he got for his businesses that he didn't need, that he could have just kept afloat with his own money, but, well, that's how you get to be a billionaire, is not spending your own money and spending somebody else's. And if my calculator work is wrong, and it could well be, But if it's right, every West Virginian could have gotten $70,833.33. And it probably would have done the economy a shitload more good than the Jim Justice's $24 million did getting socked into his bank account. Ugh. Oh, how nice. Darlene just sent along a picture of the North Deck at her place. Thought I'd share this with you. The first pick is where I'd love to have a grill of some sort in 2021. I love this mini deck edition. Clearly it's not finished. Thank you, New Yorkers, for putting on 60-day back order, the 15 or so Trex decking planks I need to finish the damn thing. But I'm okay. I'll deal with it. Oh, that's just lovely, Darlene. That's a fantastic deck. And it's going to look great when you do, when you pick out whatever cooking apparatus you're going to wind up choosing. That's beautiful. Looks like a lovely day to shoot that picture there in Connecticut, too. Let's run back over to the stress line. Hey, welcome to the program.
It is a lovely day to send you a text. It's Darlene.
Speak of the Darlene. Speak of the Darlene.
Yeah, I'm excited to be able to share those picks with you. I'm loving this. I've decided to call it the North Deck because it kind of faces north and northeast, but northeast is kind of cumbersome, so I decided to call it the North Deck. And, we love those New Yorkers, but they have created a situation because they've moved into my town and drove to avoid COVID-19, they've created a situation where there's not enough materials for me to get 15 or so more planks that I need to finish the ramp. So my brother, who is terrific, he's the one that built all, I don't have decks, I have a deck system. He built the whole damn thing. It's been a process that's taken at least 3 years. He went ahead and he put up these little railings, these little mini kind of border, it's just wood, like pressure treated wood, so that my dogs wouldn't like try to fall off or jump off the ramp where there aren't any, railings and posts, because we can't install the rest of the railings and the posts without also putting in the actual decking. So he installed a bunch of, like, wood planks and things like that so that I could at least use it, and I love it. And it's bittersweet because we are in, well, we've encountered, what, the meteorological end of summer, which I hate to even say that.
I know.
But it was a gorgeous day. I know. I'm just like you. I just love summer, and we're...
Yeah, I don't want to hear anything about any damn pumpkin spice.
Exactly. I'm not a pumpkin spice kind of gal. I mean, I'll, you know, when I've accepted that we're in it, I'll have some, but not anytime soon. So I'm glad I could share that with you. And it's very odd because since I got the North Deck edition done, it's like all of these ideas are flooding forward on furnishing my deck system because I just couldn't come up with anything because I think that the universe was basically saying to me, your deck isn't finished. The deck system is not finished. And once it got finished or almost finished, like I said, we're 15 planks short. It's like all of these ideas are flooding into my head about how I want to finish this thing for next year. But at minimum, I want to get an electric outdoor patio heater. So I can try to at least enjoy being out on the deck into the fall. So because I like heat and warmth, so I'm already looking things up for that and just get like one stand up 1500 watt electric heater and I'll be happy. But the reason for the call is Nancy. I'm still hung up on Nancy and what she did. And I sent you that email where I said I feel like, and I know I can be honest with you, Bob.
Oh yeah.
And just, you know, and
well,
the bottom
line, Darlene, is that she should. I would expect with her being at least
she screwed up, Bob.
Well, and the screw up wasn't the mask. The screw up was going inside the building. Because it is still illegal to do inside.
That is true. That was
mistake number one. I mean, if you've even got a question, call the governor's office. I'll bet if you're Nancy Pelosi, they'll take your call and say, "Hey, is it legal for me to go inside a hair salon?" And they'll go, "No, you can only do that stuff outside." Oh.
Exactly. And again, I chalk it up to, you know, I've always been impressed. Like every time I see Nancy on C-SPAN when she's doing her press conferences, the woman looks fairly pristine. I mean, what is she, 80? She's pushing 80 or in her 80s.
Yeah.
And I don't know how she does it. And as a young woman, she did look like Audrey Hepburn. I mean, she had these Audrey Hepburn style. I mean, she's stunning. She's brilliant. She is an old dog that she just knows. She knows the scams. She got hoodwinked. And I have to think that it's part and parcel of the pressure that this culture
puts on women. Oh, my God. She does look like.
To look.
Audrey Hepburn.
She look at that photo of her with John F. Kennedy Jr.
John
F. Kennedy.
I've got the picture right in front of me, and I think she was cultivating the look.
Gorgeous, and the way he was. If I recall that, I haven't looked at that photo in a long, long time. But the way he was looking at her, he was impressed, and she. I think it's like he's like, wow, she has it all, the brilliance, the connections, and the beauty, and she's maintained that. And I don't know how I really and truly do not know how she does it, even right down to the damn mask that she always shows when she's there on Capitol Hill. Every freaking mask she wears matches perfectly with whatever outfit she's wearing. And she's a good looking woman. She really is. And it's clear when you get into your 80s, there's no way that you can have hair like she has without dyeing it. Okay. So I no longer dye my hair. I have the kind of grayish hair that actually is very pretty and it tans. I'm very lucky it tans and changes color with sunlight. But the reason that I no longer decided I can't color my hair is because I cannot get out of those chairs that they put you in when they wash your hair. First of all, they dye your hair when you're sitting in front of the mirror in a regular chair, which they can lower and raise. And then you let it set for 45 minutes, and then you have to walk over to the sink, and they wash your hair. Truth be told, you know, I've been through this multiple times until recently. It's not more. It's really not waterboarding. It's not. It's a similar position that you're in, but she could have worn a mask. It's pretty clear that she had just.
Well, and she had one on. I think she had it around her chin. Or at least that was what I got. That was the impression I got from Steve.
I cannot get out of the chair. Because of my disability, because of muscular dystrophy, the FSH, I physically cannot get out of that chair. So I spoke with my hairstylist, who I might as well be a client. I might as well be a client of this hair. I'm certainly a long-standing customer, and I don't even know how they've survived COVID-19 because I haven't had my hair done. But, you know, I discussed this whole situation with him, and I said, unless you can move the chair and I can do it in my wheelchair, which has a reclining mow to it. I can no longer get my hair colored. And he was like, don't worry, we'll adjust. So I don't get my hair colored anymore. I pre-wash my hair. He wets it down with a sprayer and he cuts it. And I don't get it colored anymore. And I'm actually quite happy with it. More and more women are going gray. They're allowing themselves to present themselves with gray hair, like men do. A lot of men, I think men look very distinguished, as they say, with gray hair. Men that color their hair, you can tell they're coloring their hair. There's no way James Comey has the hair he has.
Interesting
Some
choice.
Of this is coloring his hair. He is coloring his hair. I look at him
with Reagan they swore to his dying day. Oh, he never colored his hair. Jesus Christ, that's pine tar if I've ever seen it.
Exactly, it's Grecian formula on steroids. I respect men that don't do that. Like I think Robert Mueller has the best head of hair I've ever seen on a gentleman. He's never colored his hair. It's gray. This is how it is, and it looks nice. And when you color it, it tends to weigh down your hair because it's extra, it's a difference. It's like an extra substance that you're putting on. Okay. Paul Manafort colored his hair.
Yeah.
Big time. Since he's been in the Huskow, he looks better with the gray hair. His hair is fuller. He actually looks better because he doesn't color his hair.
You know, I'll never forget, Darlene, I was in my late 30s, and we had gone down to Alabama to visit, and I popped into the office of an old friend of mine there. We hadn't seen each other for ages. And he looked at me and said, damn, when did you see the burning bush? Because my hair had gone completely snow white. We don't go, men in my family do not go gray. We go snow white.
You go snow white. And that's okay. I mean, it shouldn't be viewed as anything. It shouldn't be viewed as a deficit. It's just natural. And I think that, you know, there are women out there with gray hair. It looks pretty. There is a House of Representatives. She's from Massachusetts. And she's a Democrat. And she looks beautiful. She has all gray hair. She doesn't color. I cannot remember her name escapes me now, but maybe some of your researchers can look her up. But I think women can look very, very distinguished with gray hair. But Nancy did kind of screwed up. I mean, Bob, let's be honest, she screwed up because when they had that video on her, and it's beside the point. I totally get it that they set her up. I get it, but everybody around her was wearing a mask. She wasn't. She was putting them at risk. They were not putting her at risk. Even with that, 5 to 10 second clip of her walking from point A to point B, which is very odd that it was that long a route to walk from where you get your hair washed. But clearly she had her hair dyed because it was all pulled back and wet, soaking wet and dark black. She had had her hair colored. She had just gotten a rinse. After getting her hair colored, she really should have had that mask on. She really should have had that mask on. And it's okay to admit that because I like counter argument when you were talking to Simon R. Lamar, who's always wonderful to hear from Simon R. Lamar, is that, you know, she screwed up for what, 5 to 10 seconds? At the most, 15 seconds? Whereas Trump has made it chronic. It's like, what Nancy Pelosi did in that clip is the equivalent of Trump actually wearing a mask. It's the equivalent in terms of seconds.
Yeah, right.
So, do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah,
He wears a mask as much as Nancy Pelosi doesn't.
Precisely.
So that to me is a counter argument. She could just say, hey, mea culpa, I screwed up. Like, and everybody can relate to that. Like, you've said it. Like, I've done it. You've said it. It's like, oh, shoot. You know, you're getting out of the car and, oh, crap, I forgot my mask. This is a whole new way of living.
Oh, it is.
And we forget.
Yeah, every excursion has a certain amount of time added to it, at least the way I do things, because there's the gloves and the sanitizer, otherwise known as the grain alcohol with a twist of lemon in a squirt bottle, and the mask.
Yep.
And going in and coming out, and I've got and thanks to people like the Steves, I've got multiple masks that I can rotate. And so every mask, when it comes off, gloves are still on, the mask gets sprayed on both sides, set aside, rotate the next one in, the gloves come off, get put in a bag, and then the hands get sanitized. And it becomes habit, but once in a while, if your head is somewhere else,
you forget.
You're out of the car, and the thing that pisses me off, Darlene, is that I don't remember five steps away from the car. I remember almost to the door. You know, a couple of hundred yards.
I agree. Yeah.
And that's when you and you turn around and you go back. But it's like
and you have.
Go ahead.
You have somebody that is near and dear to you who is immunocompromised, i.e. Agnes, and I'm sure your sensibility is heightened because you are desperate to protect her. So I'm sure that when you have that kind of moment where you forget, you're like, oh, crap, I could be putting her at risk. And that's the last thing in the world.
I'm telling tales out of school right now, but y'all know some of the realities. And the biggest struggle right now, and I hope, and if Agnes is listening, I hope she didn't come in and smack me or something. But our biggest struggle right now is with Ferg, because he's 24 years old, going to be 25. He wants to work. He wants meaning. And so he went out and the only job he could find was at a convenience store as far at the other end of Beckley as you can be and still be in Beckley and him be here. And so like the last 2 days, for instance, he's worked 8 a.m. to 9 p.m. And I got no idea what's going on in there. And it scares me. To
long,
death,
yeah.
Because you got the usual assortment of West Virginians coming in there, people with it hanging down below their nose or wearing it as a chin strap or dangling off one ear like they're Vincent Van Gogh. And I can't reach him. I can't reach him, Darlene. His mother can't reach him. I got to have a job. And I understand that.
You mean like you can't, right? You mean like you can't reach him in terms of like communicating with him face to face and saying this is a dangerous time, or you can't call him?
No, I mean, I've even gone so far as to say, gee, I hope you don't kill your mother and me. And it's interesting. Yeah. And this is one of my little diversions, but I've mentioned it on the air before in my family history. Back in around, I think, either 1843 or 1848. I think it was 1848. Some sort of plague swept through a little community in Greenbrier County called Williamsburg and Sinking Springs. And in February of that year, John Dean Kincaid and his wife Polly Hyde Kincaid, and they were just in their 40s, of course, to be in your 40s in frontier West Virginia was to be pretty damned old. But they were just in their 40s. And in February of that year, Polly Hyde Kincaid died. And 7 days later, John Dean Kincaid died. And they had a 25-year-old son named Charles Hyde Kincaid. And I've wondered because I've known this story for years, Darlene. And I've wondered, what was it? And so you wonder, you know, was it typhus? Was it a smallpox outbreak? And I've thought, you know, how horrifying it, because Charles Hyde Kincaid's life gets real weird after that. He marries a local woman.
This is the son?
Yeah.
This is the son that survives.
Yeah, this is the son that survives. He marries a local woman. I think she dies in childbirth. He takes one of his two kids with him and comes to this county, marries another woman by the name of McGuffin, and they go to yet another county still. And this is where it gets odd, because, and you know, having been to law school, you know what the dower right and the courtesy right is. Those things were very important in the 18th century. So there are deeds with his name on them and her name on them over in this other county. But he is only on the deed with regard to his dower right. He never outright owns anything. And I don't know why. So he had family number one. He marries the second woman, has family number two. In his old age, he bugs out on them and leaves them. And comes back and finishes his days with one of his sons from his first marriage. And I've sat and I've asked myself time after time after time, why did he lead such a disjointed and itinerant life? And last night, talking to Agnes, I hit on it. And she realized it at the same time that I was mentioning it to her, because we've talked about him over the course of our marriage.
Oh, do tell.
And she said, you're right. Polly, the first one to get it was the 25-year-old boy. And Mama nursed him back to health and caught it. And her husband nursed her. And she died, and then he died. And when Agnes was thinking exactly the same thing I was thinking, Darlene, a cold chill ran down my spine. It feels too weird for fiction. And so I'm getting up at 6 o'clock every morning, and I drive him to work. And I go and pick him up whenever he's off shift. And every day. And I'm not trying to be overly dramatic about this. I'm not trying to be dramatic at all. But every day I feel like I'm putting a revolver with one round in the cylinder to my head and pulling the trigger.
The Russian roulette. Yeah, and it's like that whole saying of history doesn't repeat itself. But it sure does rhyme.
Yeah.
And I guess the best you can do is just insist that he wear his mask at all times.
Yeah, but
he has to wear that mask.
I can't make him do that at work. And they're not
requiring him to wear a mask?
Well, they say they do. They say they do.
You don't know, though. It's,
right.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like anywhere else around here. I mean, masks are supposed to be mandated up at the Rippy Mart 5 miles up the road for me. I have yet to see a single clerk in that store wear a mask. The little Dollar General down the road, I was in there. I think I mentioned this on air. I was down the road, or I was in the store, and I had my mask and my gloves on and everything. And a guy comes in and hollers, "Hey, I need to wear a mask in here." And the clerk, not wearing a mask, says, "Oh, no, honey, you just come on in."
Right. So Ferg could be wearing a mask, but any idiot that walks in there that isn't,
right,
still compromises him.
And they
is he
and,
getting
and,
tested? Like
no, no, oh. No. And the testing here is so slow on the turnaround, it doesn't matter. You know, we've got an outbreak right now. Our county turned red a couple of days ago because we're 3 or 4 weeks out from the super spreader event, the three of them, of those outdoor in-person graduations that the geniuses at the Board of Education decided to hold. And ordinarily you'd think 2 to 3 weeks, but it's 4 weeks here because we can't turn a test around in time for the data received to actually have any meaning. Because if you take a test and you only get the results that back 5 to 7 days later, good is that?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And of course we don't have any, we don't have any, what is it? Instacart? Yeah, that doesn't exist here.
Yes, Instacart.
Yeah, you either go shopping or, you know, you don't have stuff.
Start. Yeah.
And
even Instacart wasn't working. It wasn't working for back in March, April, when this first hit in Connecticut.
And
it was unreliable.
And he can't see past his need to have a job and make money.
Yeah.
And you know, this is not a plea for sympathy or anything like that. This is because if Agnes and I are dealing with this reality, it's happening millions of times over all over this country.
Exactly.
And so, you know, that's why I hear a clip from like that Dave Daubenmeyer asshole, and I just thank God every day that I don't ever see him out on the street, you know, because I don't think I would be able to be responsible for my actions. Because if he came up breathing and hooting and grunting at me with no mask on, I'd consider that a physical assault and begin to defend myself.
And you're in a very tenuous situation with Ferg, because more than likely his internal, clearly very strong motivation to have a job and make money is a good thing in normal times. And considering his challenges, it's like his mental health probably is very kind of hinged on as it would for any young person that's trying to kind of break free and get out on their own. And you know, you don't want to deter them from taking those kinds of important, quote unquote, adult responsibilities and doing what he wants to do. He wants to have a job and he wants to make his money and he wants to move forward in life.
If I had some way to put him in an apartment over there, and this is not me not loving him, I would.
I know. You would, right. So that he's at least contained, and I get it, yeah. It's such a difficult situation that you're in. I don't even know where to begin to even advise on that. I guess the best thing I could say is you have to just try to keep a positive attitude and just keep impressing upon him the importance of just insisting that whoever walks into that store wears a mask.
Well, but the problem is he's allowed to ask them to, but corporate won't let him throw anybody out because it's not a law. It's just a mandate, and it is not. And justice has said repeatedly that he will not make it enforceable.
Right, and considering how stupid people are, I mean, and just to kind of, you know, because he's sort of in that age range in terms of the college students and university students. I mean, I really give Joe Biden a lot of kudos for saying that the universities and the colleges struggling with the kids. And I mean, they're sending students home after a couple of weeks of starting up. That this is a national emergency, He's dead on balls accurate. This is a national emergency in terms of the schools, the colleges and universities being unable to deal with this crisis. And similar, like with my nephews and nieces, two of them are off. You know, one is at University of New Hampshire, the other one is at first year freshman at Boston University. One felt forced. My niece is going to University of New Hampshire, felt forced to have to go. The BU nephew wanted to have that experience. And already there are COVID-19 cases already flaring up at these schools. We're not out of this. And Republicans are a big problem with this. Even Governor Lamont is now starting to get pushback from Republicans in the legislature. They're starting to, like, try to give the impression that he's being an autocrat. I have to believe Alec is behind this. I don't know why. But he's issued over 70-plus executive orders. And we're in a holding pattern right now, according to the latest map, in terms of COVID-19 cases. We're in a holding pattern. We're not spiking, but we're not decreasing. Now the Republicans are starting to squawk that, oh, yes, what he's done has worked, but we're in a different place now. So the legislature, i.e., you know, Republicans and Democrats, but Republicans too, should have a say in whatever new executive orders he issues to continue to keep us safe. They're trying to fuck it up.
Oh, yeah.
They're trying to fuck us up.
Well, yeah, how long?
This is the GOP.
It's months now. Darlene. Yeah, I'm disgusted and furious because it's months now that I've sat talking into this microphone and saying, listen, you got to get it all the way down to the ground. The entire GOP, right, to the extent that it has been taken captive and co-opted and assimilated by the maggots, they're all bioterrorists. Because they are all trying, yeah, they are all trying to do harm for purposes of achieving political, legal, and social goals. They are threatening that's textbook definition of terrorism. And there's another story out there. I don't know if you saw it, but the CDC, which of course has been assimilated again by Donald Trump. And I hate that I've gotten to the point where I don't trust them. But I don't. Because they've proven themselves willing to do whatever his bidding is. Instead of following the science. So they announced a moratorium, and God knows this country needs it. It is something that the Congress could certainly have done, and the House has been willing to do. But Mitch McConnell will not move because, again, he's a bioterrorist. The CDC moved to declare that they have the legal authority to put a moratorium on evictions. And they cite their enabling public health statutes that allow them to, for instance, legally require the removal of dead animals or things that could be vectors of disease. And the specific ability to declare a moratorium on evictions, however, does not exist within the legislation. So they're going to be sued. And it's a hell of a fix. Because the reason that the maggot, that Trump wanted it, is so he could say, hey, the useless Democrats, they wouldn't stop you from being evicted, but I did. But see, in the CDC mandate, there's nothing there that says that the landlord gets paid, and there's nothing there that says that the tenant actually gets relief, so that somebody who is crushed by this and say it's gone after 6 months and the landlord says, hey, pay me 6 months rent right now or I'm going to evict your ass, there's nothing to prevent that either. So it as with all things Trump, Darlene, it is only it's only the sham appearance of action as opposed to actual action. You see what I'm saying?
And, yeah, it's like and the acting directors of this and that.
Yeah, and it's going to be a hot mess because we lose whichever way the court rules. If the court says you don't have the authority to do that, then people get evicted. And that means they're homeless, and being homeless spreads the disease. But if the court
doesn't even take into account. Go ahead, sir.
No. But if the court says you do have the authority, then that means that the CDC can just make it up as they go along, and Trump can act with actual dictatorial powers.
Well, so devious. Oh, and it doesn't even take into account mortgage holders, people who own homes and are on the verge of being foreclosed on. I know people on my street. They're really freaked out because even though there's a moratorium or they're holding off, what's going to happen, you know, when this is over? Are they going to forgive the year or more worth of mortgage payments? Or is it going to become due in a balloon payment? Or is it going to be tacked on to the end of this 30-year mortgage? None of that stuff really has been addressed.
Nope.
You know, meanwhile,
but to the extent that efforts have been made, yeah. The House has made those efforts, Darlene. And it's sitting there in a pool of dust and blood on McConnell's desk.
Exactly. And we're talking 400 plus bills since the new, you know, House of Representatives, the Congress was sworn in, with a Democratic majority, in the House. I guess that what happens, say we have our dream team situation, we survive into January, Trump is ousted. We have Biden Harris administration. We have further secured our supermajority in the House. We have gotten a majority, possibly a supermajority in the Senate. What happens to all those bills? I guess based on what Steve and others have said, those 400 plus bills,
they die.
I guess null and void.
Yeah, they just die.
So they just die. So that's a lot of work. A lot of bills, a lot of legislation for naught. Can that legislation be somehow resurrected in a new Congress?
There's no resurrection. I mean, we've been dealing with the AIC Act since 2012, Darlene. And with every new Congress, it has to be introduced all over again. Anything that you want passed has to be reintroduced. It has to go through the entire committee process unless it is the subject of a discharge petition, in which case you've got to have, 230 votes or something like that. I don't remember the exact number, but that gets it out of committee or bypasses committee.
So there's no question in my mind. Like I said, Nancy Pelosi's an old dog. She knows, you know, they know that passing these bills, issuing these bills to die in the Senate. But I think, you know, well, you know, best case, best hope that it was some these things would maybe one or two or more would be passed. I think they knew they weren't going to be. So this was political on the. Come on, you have to admit, this was political on the part of Nancy Pelosi and the other House Democrats.
What? But Darlene, it's
constant.
It's not just political, though. It's not just political, though. If you go back to Barbara Jordan and in her speech about Watergate, where she said, we're in the House. We have constitutional duties to perform.
Right.
And we have to We have to perform those duties regardless of what the Senate does. So that's what this House has done since 2018. They have done their duty.
Correct. And
the Republicans simply have not.
Right on down to Trump being impeached.
Yeah.
But you've said it before, and I agree. We can't get shit done if we don't control the Senate. As long as the Republicans control the Senate, nothing gets done. You can't tell me that Nancy Pelosi didn't know this. And I'm not, you know, she did what she's supposed to do. And she got out there pretty much weekly, saw her in C-SPAN, talking about, you know, the bills that were passed. But she really tried to emphasize the very progressive legislation they were passing. And again, it just died a torturous, slow death on Mitch McConnell, Moscow Mitch's desk. They knew that. I think she knew that. They knew that. So this was also PR, you know, to say, hey, look, Democrats are trying to make things better in this country. And it's not happening. It's not actualizing.
No, it's not working.
They knew that. She knew that. It's not working.
That's in large part, Darlene, because of the way the multimillionaires of the for-profit media operate. I mean, you get some people who will amplify that message, Chris Hayes, Rachel Maddow, Lawrence O'Donnell, a couple of people here and there at CNN. But for the most part, it's described in terms of why won't Congress do something? When in fact, it's not why won't Congress do something. It's why won't the Senate take these bills up, because the House has already done their job.
And I see
it on Facebook all the time. You know, goddamn Congress, tell Congress to. And a few times I'll jump in there and say, no, your wrath is slightly misplaced. You don't have a problem with the House of Representatives. The Heroes Act is sitting on Mitch McConnell's desk right now. The Republican Senate is your problem.
And that's probably the best statement that Jerry Nadler made. The Senate is corrupt. He said it not too long ago. The Senate is corrupt.
Yeah. And the fish rots from the head.
Yeah.
McConnell is corrupt, therefore the Senate is corrupt.
Right. And he's, you know, his whole thing, I mean, the fact that he fell asleep, I mean, the whole thing about him falling asleep, you know, at that meeting about Russian interference.
Yeah.
His whole, you know, the only thing he's there for is to stack the court with right-wing nuts. Conservatives, and he's been successful. That's going to take generations to undo. And everything seems, the book seems to stop at the court system. Like, they're so devious, they just know. They know where the stopgaps are.
Exactly.
And that's been his focus, and they're so far ahead of that. And I would like to see him ousted. I would love to see him, Lindsey Graham, Cornyn, you know, just, I think that's,
well, the one
I,
of the,
I don't think it's going to happen. I think that's unlikely, but.
Well, there's at least one that's looking like it's getting pretty close to done, and that's Martha McSally in Arizona. That woman is straight up desperate. It was a week or so ago, that 2 weeks maybe, that she challenged people in Arizona to miss a few meals and give her the money. No shit. And then as of Tuesday in the Arizona Republic, a reporter, a columnist by the name of Lori Roberts, reported on Martha McSally demanding that Mark Kelly, you know, astronaut Mark Kelly, debate her on national TV. You know, for
really?
A state, yeah, for a seat that only people in Arizona can vote for. And what I loved was what I loved was her pitch for it. Mark is hiding from his record in radical positions, you know, because he's a radical astronaut. Tell me more about these radical astronauts, Martha McSally.
Right.
Yeah, because he knows how far out of step he is with Arizonans. Weird. I'm starting to think he might be scared of debating a girl, and I'm starting to think this race is in the bag. Well, that's what.
Well, his wife is Gabby Gifford, right?
Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay.
So you get
right.
You know, you get if we can knock her off, Cory Gardner in Colorado, Susan Collins up in Maine. And pick up and save Doug Jones and pick up one more.
We won't have a super majority, but we'll have a majority.
Right.
What I'm hearing.
Right.
Yeah. And again, that's not comforting because more than likely, you know,
that means that Mitch McConnell. That means Mitch McConnell is still there to push around Chuck Schumer and slap him about the head and shoulders and get him to ask for more. On the other hand, though,
the
National Democrats have pledged another $1 million to MJ Hager in Texas in her race against John Cornholio. Sure. So they're serious about that, because this is the time of year in a campaign cycle when you start pulling money out of states and putting it in others. And so to pledge money to the MJ Hager campaign says quite a bit about what they think her chances might be. And of course, everything, all of this, every last bit of it, Darlene, is predicated on the idea of as long as people get to vote.
Right. I submitted my application for an absentee ballot today. And I was so paranoid about it that something happened with my my printer, wherein the normal way that I did it online, I was sent an email by my town. And I decided not to wait for the town to mail me the absentee ballot. But I decided to click the link that my town sent me under the absentee ballot and send it in my own envelope. Well, my printer, something happened with the printer and it was printing the envelope upside down. And I was so paranoid because guess who the town clerk is? Republican. They're all Republicans here.
Sure.
I didn't even want to send them an envelope that was not done properly. Like, I didn't, you know, where the unsealing the envelope was upside down as opposed to, you know, at the top. I wasted 3 fucking envelopes.
Jesus.
Because I'm like, I think something must have happened. With my drive, I don't know what happened with the printer. I think the driver or something changed because the computer upgrades to Catalina, which has been a nightmare ever since they did that new operating system. The Apple did the new operating system. I'm like, I wanted everything to be perfect and pristine. I didn't want any excuse to be used, anything. That's how paranoid I am about, you know, doing an absentee ballot. Because part of me is like, I want to say, fuck you, Trump. Fuck Trump. I'm doing an absentee ballot. I'm putting it in writing. Not through a machine where there's no paper trail. And I have no idea, you know, what's happening with my vote. So,
but with yours,
I did that today.
With yours, they're at least going to, they'll have to fuck with it on the county basis as opposed to on the state, won't they?
I agree. I think so, yeah. Town, I think on the town basis, I mean, they have to, it goes to the town clerk and the state's pretty good. I mean, she's, our Secretary of State has been very much on the ball with it, although I don't think they've been promoting the concept or the idea of get it in as early as possible as much as they should, like the Biden campaign has been doing.
Right.
You know, get your absentee, the moment you get your absentee ballot, send it in. Because in Connecticut, we're only going to have, like, they're going to send us the actual absentee ballot October 2nd. I don't like those. I don't like that. That's you know, a little over 30 days. But considering the times and the situation, I think they should do a lot sooner. That's just my take on it. And I mean, I understand that, like, Maine has gone to email. You can email your vote in.
Wow.
Maine. Yes. The governor there is very progressive. She's having email. You can vote by email. So, you know, I don't think that what's her name, Susan Collins, even though my friend from Maine has been very clear, Susan Collins and her campaign, they play dirty. They cheat.
Oh, sure.
But I don't think she's going to get back in. I think there's so much vitriol against her, and rightfully so. If she gets back in, there were shenanigans for sure.
You want a scenario that would make some maggot heads explode?
Go for it. Always liking that.
A 50-50 split in the Senate, and Kamala Harris comes in and breaks every tie.
Oh my God! Talk about poetic justice. Jeez.
I mean, that would almost be like something out of the Origins of the Country.
That's great.
Where the vice president really would just sit there all the time and serve as the president of the Senate. You lose.
Oh, and you know,
lose.
You
lose.
Oh,
you lose.
Yeah. Bitch on wheels, and that's a compliment. You go, come on.
Yeah.
Great. That would be great. Yeah. But I do like what Biden said. I like what he said. This is a national emergency when it comes to our colleges and universities, and he's right. You know, I think that what's happening is it's frightening, and I don't know what's going to go on here at the state level with Connecticut, because I feel like, you know, it's the Republicans that are squawking, because, you know, our Democratic governor has done so well that even they admit that what he's done is working. So if it's working, all Lamont is asking is for an additional 5 months to continue to issue these orders, these executive orders, because he's keeping an eye on what's going on in other states. And they're trying to give the impression, you know, again, it's the GOP, Republicans, is all projecting. It's all projecting. About, you know, suddenly they're trying to give the impression that, you know, our governor is being like an autocrat. Well, it's because they're autocrats. And again, I just have this weird, sneaky suspicion that Alec, who's gone silent for the most part, at least, you know, publicity wise, I feel like Alec is behind it. You know, that they're saying to their Republican stooges, you know, hey, you know, you need to start taking back some control here and lining up a candidate for whenever he runs again. Because I'm telling you, if the Republican candidate who ran, he was a rich buck, I don't even remember his name. If he had won, oh my God, we would be one of those COVID-19, you know, one of those states that are spiking with COVID-19. We wouldn't be, you know, in our kind of holding pattern right now.
Right.
I mean, Lamont's done a terrific job. He really has done a very, very good job. So I, you know, this whole thing, I think, threatens that. Republicans are stepping in to threaten that the little bit of success that we as a small, densely populated state has had in this pandemic. So,
well, y'all have a fighting chance. Anyway. You know, the states that are competently run have a fighting chance. I got no idea of what's going to become of the maggot states when this thing goes when it gets even worse than it already is.
Right, and I mean we're heading. I mean, it's very odd because, you know, we're almost similar in terms of our weather, but it almost feels like the moment we hit September 1st, like a switch was flipped. It seems like
Here it damn sure was, because it was in the 60s this morning when I got up to take Ferg to work, and it has been raining off and on for 4 or 5 days. More rain in the forecast.
Yeah.
I hope the forecast holds up, because I need all the warmth and light that I can get before I move into my 6 month long funk. They're saying Saturday, yeah, Sunday, Monday, and slower. Tuesday. Well, they're saying all next week looks pretty decent.
Like it'll be really good grilling and grilling and barbecue weather.
Yeah, and I gotta figure out a way. I was talking to Todd about it, and I was talking to Brother Deacon Asa about it. I gotta figure out a way to do this pork belly wrapped ribeye thing. But God, you know, because you know pork belly's kind of broad, and what I saw on TikTok, or I'm not sure, Instagram maybe. But it was like three bones of a bone-in tomahawk ribeye, right? And they had wrapped the whole thing in pork belly, and then they seasoned it and grilled it. And the video, the food porn video itself, was of a razor sharp butcher's knife going down between the bones, and this beautiful rare ribeye is in the center with this gorgeous wrapping of pork belly, and I was like, damn, who does that?
That sounds beautiful.
Yeah, I know. And
I wish I could do stuff like that.
And well, eventually you will be.
I hope so. I mean, I'm probably going to have to settle with electric. I'm sorry. Although I was discussing with a family member, probably tell it. I know I can't get to, you know, again, my physical limitations, plus the black bears here in my town. There are some serious things that we have to contend with. And
yeah.
I don't want to be drawing in Goliath, who's enormous, to my north deck, my new deck, because I would freak if I looked at my...
Hello.
Oh, there's another bear out there, you know. But I think for me, as I'm sure it is for you, you kind of alluded to, is the dramatic changes in temperature. I as I get older, I'm struggling with that. It's like I'm the type of person where I like temperature to be kind of consistent and constant. You know, like over the weekend, they are talking about 70, 75 degree weather, which for me is kind of cold. I'm more the kind of an 80s temperature kind of girl, minus the humidity. But they're saying here, at least in Connecticut, that the temperature at night is going to drop to 40.
Jesus.
40 overnight, 40, 50 at night. And that's okay. You know, a lot of men typically love the cold temperatures at night. I don't like them. I don't like it. I like to wake up in consistent temperature. And, you know, get real, Darlene, you're a spoiled bitch. But no, I'm talking consistent, even if it's like really cold. I like just consistent temperature. And it could be my muscles, it could, whatever. But we're seeing, like I said, a switch was flipped, and we're already seeing fall-like weather. And the sense of my senses is that the warm kind of summer weather is sort of intermittent whereas that's typically not the case. It's usually we have kind of consistent warm summer weather, at least into maybe the second or third week of September. But everything is volatile. It's like all over the place.
Well, and for me, it's also a function of the light. I mean, I need
and the light. Yeah,
I need sunlight just to keep me from going into a terrible, terrible funk. And you know, maybe most men do like the cold temperatures, but and I don't mind cold. I can deal with it. But for me, I need the light and well, you know, when I get up in the morning to go and make Agnes and Mai's first espressos of the day, padding barefoot into the kitchen is an unpleasant experience.
And that's one of the big regrets I have, but I have that I didn't put in heated flooring under the tile because I couldn't afford it, and that wasn't even something I was even considering when I first bought the house. It was like, and I have a tiny house, it was like just buying a house and having about, I think it was about $24,000 left to strip the house and, you know, the interior and try to bring it up to speed, you know, put in new flooring because everything was antiquated and old from the 1970s. Considering, you know, putting in heating elements under the tile was not even a consideration. But now it's like, damn, I wish I had, at least in the bathroom, I wish I had done that.
Oh, yeah.
You know, but it's like, at least with a grill, with a barbecuing kind of gives that sort of warmth, feeling of warmth. And I think I recall you grilling well into November.
Oh yeah,
December, right?
it was a few years back that I did. So like, I did a brisket on New Year's Day in 11 below. So
you go.
I can be a hard ass about it. But you know, something you might want to think about. There's a new phenomenon out there, and this would be doable for you, I think. And you want to you don't necessarily want a grilling cooking service, more like the griddle type affair. They're calling it the modern term for them is smash burgers. And so you take your burger and you make it into a ball, and you put it on a nice hot griddle, and you let it start sizzling, and then you take a couple of spatulas. And you just lean down into it and flatten them as flat as you can get them. And you get these beautiful hamburgers that are really thin. And they've got this crispy, wonderful lace around the outside edges. And you melt the cheese on them. But if you've ever had a burger from Steak and Shake, kind of like that. And they're magnificent.
That sounds wonderful.
So once you get going, you'll be covered up in ideas.
Oh, stop. That's cool because, well, I think at this point, because it took, I think with the problem with getting materials. And again, you know, this is Home Depot and Lowe's, and even some of the surviving surrounding lumber yards and stuff. And I mean, if you want to have, you know, they want to do a monopoly, right? We don't have very many choices. So what do I have to, you know, Where can I go? It's either Lowe's or Home Cheapo, as they call it. They had no supplies. There was nothing. There was no supplies. Granted, you know, we're in the COVID-19 era now, so maybe that had an impact as well. But the deck got built a hell of a lot later than I wanted it to be built. But I'm thinking of actually springing for an electric, and eventually I'll go even big time and do propane for heaters. I was just looking up something on Amazon, a pretty nice electric heater. And I think that it's like, it can go up to 1500 watts. And I'm like, okay, I can put it out on the north deck here, this new deck addition. I decided to call the north deck and put that on and at least maybe be out there late into the fall with some warmth, you know, emanating from this electric heater. And try to enjoy the deck a little bit later into the fall. And at least I feel like I can stretch out the use of this deck later into the year and just try that and see how that goes. Because that's actually, if you think about it, kind of the optimum time because you're not dealing with bugs as much. You're not dealing with mosquitoes and things like that, but it's cold. It's almost like it's rare that you get a perfect day. You know, and maybe that's my illusion because I think with California, I think of California, I think about, you know, Billable Rick and Tracy and Chris and others that are out there. I think you can't, and I'm sure they're living in different parts of California, but I'm sure there's parts of California where, like, the weather is, like, perfect every day.
You know? Yeah, a few, yeah. Like, well, San Diego, you know, the most boring place on earth to have a job as a weatherman is San Diego.
Exactly.
Yeah. Like, just another shitty day in paradise. But I love the fact that you said, you know, perfect days are so hard to come by. You should look up. You know, quit telling us which poems to look up, Bob. You should look up a poem by Robert Frost. I've loved it since the first time I ever read it. It is called "Happiness Makes Up in Height for What It Lacks in Length." Which I think is a brilliant statement.
Okay.
And he places it in the context, and of course, you know, we're talking about New Hampshire, of a perfect, warm, sunny, cloudless day in New Hampshire. And I think it begins something like, "Oh, stormy, stormy world, the days you were not furled in mist and cloud are days so very few, I cannot help but wonder whence I get the lasting sense of so much warmth and light. It may be altogether from one day's perfect weather when starting clear at dawn, the day swept clearly on to finish clear at eve," and goes on from there. It's just a beautiful sentiment, and it makes a hell of a lot of sense, too. Of course, Robert Frost did a lot of that sense-making stuff. Hey, Darlene, I got to roll out of here because I got to go get... I got it's time.
All right, Bob.
It's time to put.
Yeah, we're after eight.
Yeah, it's time for me to put the gun to my head and hope that that's not the one with the bullet in the chamber.
Okay, I'm sorry. I hope all is stay safe and thank you so much. And you know, looking forward to Friday on the Front Porch tomorrow.
Oh, I sure am. I am too.
And the holiday weekend. Yay!
Yeah, it is a holiday weekend. Ooh, I might take Monday off. Terrifying. Nah, I probably won't. Darlene, you take care, all right?
I can't believe it.
And don't let Goliath onto the deck. Once he gets up there and gets a taste of the leisure life, he'll never leave.
Exactly. Take care, my friend. Bye-bye.
All right. See you, Darlene. Darlene's such a treasure. Goliath the bear. Wow. By the way, Les, with a note, we've gotten our team of people who never saw a Tiger King. We've got enough to field both an offense and a defense in football. Plus two, Les says, Michelle and I have never watched Tiger King. Watching Orange Stupid Fuhrer daily is more than enough reality trash on our TV. Hear, hear, Les. Thanks to those of you who jumped in on the fundraising this evening. We got it down to $410. Or $210, that means $410 tomorrow to finish the week. Thank you so very much indeed. Thanks to all of you who keep the program on the air. Thanks to to all of you who share your precious finite time engaging in the program in whatever manner you so choose. Thanks to our all-volunteer staff. Thanks to Sparky and Steve in the chat room this evening. Thanks to our news ninjas. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa, headon.live. Thanks to John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, whiterosesociety.org. Thanks to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net. 20 plus years at the forefront of the struggle for human rights and environmental justice in Appalachia. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Stay home if you can. Please stay safe. If you have to go out, well, wear your mask, wear your gloves, wash your hands, don't touch your face, maintain your social distancing. And for God's sakes, if somebody comes toward you saying, having to wear a mask is just like being black, avoid that dumb bastard like the plague, because he is. Later, y'all.